What is up? This is Matt Undermine. I'm Brett Vollert. Today we'll be talking about the cosmic speed limit, the speed of propagation in the universe, the speed of causality, the C in E equals MC squared. That's right, we'll be talking about the speed of light. And how fast is the speed of light? Well, it's really fast. So fast that it used to be thought to be infinite. Today, we define it as 299,792,458 meters per second. And as I said earlier, that's, you know, technically the speed of propagation in the universe. Light itself doesn't always travel at that speed. Light can be slowed down through various mediums, like water. The speed of propagation is what it's most commonly known as. Gravitational waves, if you remember from the LIGO experiment a couple years ago, were discovered, and those travel at the speed of light in a vacuum. It's just the fastest possible thing in the universe. They said the speed of light only travels that fast in a vacuum, and it differs in different mediums. That's why when you put your straw in a glass of water, it looks bent, even though it's straight. It's because light is traveling a different speed through the water as it is through the air. In fact, when light goes through diamond, its speed is almost cut in half. And that's because in diamond, it's much more dense, and there's a much larger chance that the photons of light will run into an atom, be absorbed, and then re-emitted. And this slows down light. So it must be a vacuum, right? We have to have light in a vacuum. That's the only time it's going to go that fast. But is a vacuum actually empty? That's debatable. Actually, research at Max Planck Institute and the Université de Paris-Sud, probably not saying that wrong, talks about something called virtual particles. Now, this is a quantum mechanical phenomenon that has been known to exist for some time now. The vacuum has particles pop in and out of existence periodically. This is actually a part of the theory of the Big Bang, that there has to be some non-homogeneity in the vacuum, that virtual particles must be able to pop in and out of existence. And so light might not travel at consistent speeds in the vacuum due to these virtual particles and non-homogeneity. Now, there might be a small percentage or a small amount of difference if we measure it, but this does seem to affect it. Other research has shown that light travels at different speeds depending on the structure of the light, or the source of the light. Now, all our measurements of the speed of light have to do with speed of light. Might as well be called the speed of laser light, because it's all done using lasers in precise experimental conditions. It's never been done using a spherical source like the sun, which has much different structure to light. Now, light can be structured in different ways. Most known way is by polarity, the angle at which light can be polarized. So let's get back to that number, that 299,792,458 meters per second. How did we arrive at that number? How is that the speed of light? Well, before we talk about light, let's talk about the other two units in that equation. Meters and seconds. Now, seconds are a fairly reliable unit of measurement. In order to measure seconds, we use cesium clocks that have radioactive decay at very reliable increments. This is how we account for the differences in time dilation or relativity when we use satellites, because time moves slower above the Earth than it does down here. And so we have to account for that, and we do that by using cesium clocks that account for the differences. So seconds, there doesn't seem to be any huge problem there. But let's talk about the meter. What is the meter? Well, the meter is definitely an improvement from what we had before. Before we had something called the cubit, which was essentially the distance of an outstretched arm. I mean, that's that very variable. You know, my arm is much larger or longer than someone, you know, I'm 6'2", much longer than someone who's 5 foot. And this isn't accounted for in that unit of measurement. So what we did is we determined in 1795 that the meter will be 1/10,000,000th the circumference of the Earth. That's a strange unit, but it's very applicable to our lives. We live, I would say we live medium lives, medium-sized lives, and we need medium-sized numbers to put them in perspective. You know, we're about, as far as the scales of the universe, we're, the human body's about smack dab in the middle. Anyways, so this was the unit that was most used, and it's actually has a physical representation of the meter in Paris, in the form of a platinum iridium rod, and it's in an X pattern, and that's just to increase the stability, tension forces, torsion forces on the rod. They want it to stay preserved, and that's been there since 1875, and replicas of this meter has been passed out through the world in order to have some uniform system as measurement, because the speed of light is not one guy, it's not that one guy measures the speed of light and that's the number. It was done by using averages over long periods of time. Actually, these averages spanned most of the 1900s, and they did this using what now they believed was a very standardized meter. So they were surprised to see that there was actually a 20 meters per second fluctuation that persisted. The speed of light was fairly constant, but not exactly constant. Now, this could be due to some experimental changes, or this could be due to human error or something like that. Or it could be that the speed of light is actually fluctuating. Now, this is a crazy idea, right? I mean, the speed of light being a constant is something that's foundational to science itself. And we talked about the C in E equals MC squared. It's not just metrology that cares about the speed of light. Metrology is the study of measurements, which is a very odd science, much more complicated than I had originally thought. But the speed of light is pervasive throughout science. It's a constant. Constants should not change. Even 20 meters per second, they should not fluctuate. So the scientific community, specifically the metrology community, or the meteorological community, maybe, don't quote me on that, was very upset by this. And so they did something brilliant, but perhaps also idiotic. If I was British, I'd call it cheeky. What they did is they turned around and they measured the speed of light. Sorry, they measured the meter. They determined the length of the meter with the speed of light. So today, the meter is considered to be 1,299,792,458 of a second. So basically, they measured the speed of light using the meter, and then they turned around and defined the meter by the speed of light. Today, these two constants are tied together. They're inseparable. They're irrevocably determined by each other. There is literally no way for us to determine if the speed of light changes now, because the meter would just change with it. Or there's no way for us to tell if those bars, the length of the meter would change, because the speed of the light would just change with it. They're defined by each other, and that makes them constants. Now, the prudent thing in the scientific community is to just think that this is not really big of a deal. We already know the speed of light's a constant. Of course it is. This is just a way for us to help organize and make sure that our meters are constant as well. And that's all well and good. But this sort of example is, if we're wrong, the kind of oversight that has lasting implications. This is the sort of thing in science I enjoy, because it's something mind-blowing that we could take something like the speed of light for granted. I think it's a constant, just because greater minds before us have said so, and the equations work. A lot of equations worked for a long time until relativity came along and said, nope, that's wrong. Like I said, this might just be an over-exaggeration of scientific metrology, but I do find it interesting. And I think questioning these sort of things is important. There's nothing more scientific than questioning these sort of seemingly inconsistencies. I love a quote by Max Planck. Max Planck said that science advances one death at a time. Basically meaning that scientists get very set in their ways and set in their beliefs, just like any sort of other person. And this may be a sort of dogma that the speed of light's a constant right now that may one day change. And we should embrace ideas like that. It's an evolution of science, something that science itself should be no stranger to. Anyways, let's hear your comments. If anyone has anything to say, I'd love to hear it. MatterUndermind.com or MatterUmind@gmail.com. Thanks so much.